This Bible talk, titled Gospel Partnership, is on Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. It's the second talk in our new series, Citizenship in Philippians, and it was recorded at Robina on Sunday, the 18th of July, 2021.
It doesn't happen very often. In fact, it's kind of rare. But when it does happen, it's very special. It's like a gift from God himself. It is a gift from God. A brother or sister in Christ who prays for you, who prays with you, who delights in your progress, who shares in your struggles, who looks for ways to encourage you in Christ's likeness, who partners with you in gospel growth, always praying for you, always pointing you back to Jesus. Partnership in the gospel means knowing and being known by God and others. Like I said, it's rare, but very special when it happens. His name was Charlie Coe. I met him in Henty. Charlie was already a very old man when we met, a wheat and cattle farmer who loved his family. Long after she'd passed away, Charlie still loved his wife, Marge. Charlie loved the Lord Jesus. And for some reason, Charlie loved me. Charlie would ring me up and we would talk on the phone for as long as I would let him. He'd turn up at our place, usually around dinner time, which was convenient for him, but not for us. But he loved me and he loved my family too. Always praying for me, always encouraging me, always with a book for me to read, always spurring me on in Christ's likeness. Rejoicing with me as the church grew in Henty, praying with me as things seemed difficult. Charlie wasn't afraid to tell me his opinion. He wasn't afraid to say the things that needed to be said. He wanted me to preach at his funeral, and his instructions to me were very clear. Don't talk about me, Michael. Tell them all about Jesus. You know, it's rare when it happens, but it's so precious when it does. It's like a gift from God himself. It is a gift from God. Have you ever had a Christian friend like that? Someone who partners with you. Someone who's got you covered. Someone who walks with you and who walks alongside with you. Rejoicing in your growth in the gospel, delighting in your progress together. Someone who's always praying for you, always looking for ways to encourage you further in your faith. It's rare, isn't it? Partnership in the gospel means knowing and being known. being known. We're continuing in our series on Philippians this morning, a series we've called Citizenship. And last week, if you're with us, we looked at Acts 16, where we saw that the gospel always causes a disturbance. Wherever the gospel is preached, there is a disruption because Jesus comes to change lives. After seeing the vision of a Macedonian man, the gospel came to Europe. Paul opened the word of God in Philippi. Do you remember? God opened the hearts of Lydia and the jailer. They opened their lives to God and opened their homes to God's people. Now, sitting inside another cell, another jail cell, this time in Rome, Paul is on trial for his very life. But he writes to the church at Philippi. Philippians, the book, is a missionary prayer letter that is filled with love. Paul writes to thank the Philippians because he thanks God for them. Thankful for their partnership together in the gospel, Paul writes to thank God for his gospel partners, the Philippians. Partners who've gone the distance with him. Partners who are going the distance with him in Christ. See it with me, friends. Chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul and Timothy write this letter to the Philippians, which is interesting, isn't it? Because in Acts 16, it was Paul and Silas who got into all of that hot water. Remember, it was Paul and Silas who did the jailhouse rock at Philippi. But Timothy was also there in Philippi. See it with me again, Acts 16, verse 1, the words behind me. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer. But his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew his father was a Greek. It cost Timothy a bit of skin, but friends, he was in the game at Philippi as well. Like the demon-possessed girl says last week, these men are slaves, they are servants of Christ Jesus. But notice who Paul's writing to. It's to all the saints in Christ Jesus in Philippi. Now, it's kind of cool that we get to be called saints and all of that, but more literally, friends, it says to those in Philippi that Jesus has made holy. Jesus changes lives. Jesus makes us holy. But it's not just the holy ones in Philippi that he writes to. See it there again, including the overseers and the deacons. It's not just the church that Paul addresses in Philippi. Paul is also addressing the church leaders in Philippi. Paul's got something to say to both of them, to the church and its leadership. There are issues in the church at Philippi. There are issues in every church. We'll see these issues in chapters 3 and 4 clearly, but for now, Paul just wants to say thanks. See that with me, verse 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Every time Paul thinks of the Philippians, he's on his knees thanking God for them. Always remembering, always praying, always joyful, always thankful for their partnership together. And he's confident that it will always continue. See that there, verse 6. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Paul's confidence isn't in the Philippians. And our confidence isn't in other people either. Paul's thankful because of people. He's prayerful for people. But he's confident in the God who works within them. Confident that God will finish the work that he started. And God will finish the work that he started in you too, my friend, when Jesus appears on the last day. In the end, God always has his way with people. That's where Paul's joyful confidence can be found. And it's why we can be joyful too. God's still at work in the person that's sitting next to your friend. And that's why we can be confident as well, because God's still at work in you too. The gospel not only creates partnerships like Paul with the Philippians, the gospel also creates genuine love. Paul's gospel has gospel love for the Philippians. Paul knows them and he's known by them. See that there, verse 7. It's right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defence and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. Sentimentality isn't something that Australians do very well, especially us blokes. If Australians ever said this sort of stuff to one another, honestly, everyone in the room would start to feel uncomfortable. Peter Maritsvaitis, I think about you always. I have you in my heart. I miss you deeply. I feel affectionate towards you. Take it easy, Mike. I mean, it's all just a bit much, don't you think? My father's generation grew up not expressing their feelings. No one in my dad's family told anyone else how they felt. Not in helpful or healthy ways, anyway. Maybe you grew up that way too. Unable to locate and articulate your own emotions. Uncomfortable telling other people how you feel. Not in touch with your own inner world, so emotionally out of touch with the world that's around you. You know, the greatest weakness of most humans is our hesitancy to tell other people how much we love them while they're still alive. Look, friends, I'm not suggesting that we all appear on Dr. Phil here. But let's listen to how Paul thinks and feels about the Philippians. They're with him, partnering in everything that he's going through. The Philippians are with Paul in the jail cell, in the church plant, in the church's mission, in the grace of God, partners together in the gospel, participating together in the ministry that God has for them, known and being known by God and others. That's what partnership in the gospel is. Paul knows this about the Philippians, so it's right that he feels this way about them. His knowledge of them drives his emotions, because Christian love isn't sentimentality or feigned insincerity. Christian love is emotionally intelligent. Because of what Paul knows about the Philippians and their commitment to the gospel, Paul not only desires to see them again, see it with me there, he longs to be with them. Paul not only loves them, see it there, he has Christ's affection for them. Our knowledge of our own emotions, it motivates our will towards one another. Gospel partnership spills over into love. Gospel partnership and love shape our prayers. And so in verses 9 to 11, Paul prays for the Philippians. He prays that they'll grow. He prays that they'll know. He prays that they'll overflow. And he prays that they will glow. See that with me, verse 9. And it's my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus to the glory and praise of God. It's a great prayer, isn't it? Kind of makes our prayer sound a little bit limp. Praying that they'll grow in their love and knowledge and discernment, praying that they'll be fruitful when Jesus returns, and that when Jesus does return, he'll be glorified because of their lives. Remember, this is what Paul always prays for them. Paul always prays the Philippians will grow, that they'll grow in their love so that they'll know how to think, that they'll grow in their love so that they'll always know how to behave. Love and knowledge drive behavior. Paul prays the Philippians will grow in love, grow in their love for God, grow in their love for other people. The Philippians, they might be perfect partners, but they've still got a long way to go when it comes to love. Don't we all? Paul calls on the Philippians to be like-minded in chapter 2, verse 2. He'll ask them to agree together in the Lord in chapter 4, verse 2. The Philippians' commitment to the gospel, friends, is obvious, but they haven't got love covered yet. None of us have. And so Paul always prays that they'll grow in their love. Then they'll know how to think with a gospel mind. Then they'll know how to behave in every situation. Love determines our actions and our behavior. Love so that they'll always know what to do, so that they'll know what pleases Jesus, so they'll be ready for his return. So that when Jesus does come on the last day, the Philippians will glow with purity and blamelessness like Christ. Holiness is always expressed by its actions. Love for God, love for people. You want to take your holiness seriously? Grow in love for other people. Only Jesus makes us holy. He declares us pure and blameless. Paul prays the Philippians will grow in love so that they'll overflow with his righteousness. Love is how Jesus measures righteousness. And when Jesus returns, we'll see your fruitfulness too. Paul wants the Philippians to grow in love. That's Paul's prayer for the Philippians. He always prays this way. He prays that they'll grow in love because the gospel is love. The gospel is the demonstration of God's love for people, God becoming a person in the person of Christ. Jesus, who didn't claim title and privilege or power that belonged exclusively to him. Jesus, who didn't stand on ceremony and insist that others treat him in a certain or special way. Who didn't promote himself above others, who didn't make demands of his followers, who didn't insist on his own entitlements or demand things be done his way only, who didn't look to his own interests, but in love considered our needs greater than his, who made himself nothing who took on flesh and walked and lived amongst us, who submitted himself to death, but not just any death, friends. Death on a cross. Grow in love like him. Philippians 2 verse 6. Though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. This is the gospel. This is love. Jesus shows us what gospel love looks like. He shows us what gospel love does. Because Jesus is the gospel, he loves us with his own love. And being his people means knowing God and being known by him. That's what partnership is. You know, at this point, it would be really easy for me to hit you all over the head and to tell you all to love other people better. It would be easy for me to tell you that your love doesn't measure up and that you should love God more than you do. If you think the Philippians had problems, you should see some of ours. But that wouldn't be very loving of me now, would it? I don't need to tell you that we need to grow in love. And I don't need to tell you that we could love each other better. You already know this. In fact, some of you have already told me so. But what I want to tell you is, I'm praying for you. And I'm asking you to pray for all of us that we might grow together. Let's be partners together in the gospel, so that in every situation we know how to think and how to behave, so that we can pray with confidence for each other, confidence in the one who began his good work in us. We mightn't love each other very well at times. We might say things that we shouldn't have said. You might bump heads with somebody here and then go home and bash your head against a brick wall because of them. But God's still at work among us. God's always finishing the work that he starts too. God hasn't given up on you, and he hasn't given up on any of us yet either. God will complete the work, the good work he started, because he always has his way with people. So rather than losing patience with someone here or feeling guilty about how you might have treated them, might I suggest this instead? Why don't you ask God to complete his good work in them? Partner with them in the gospel. Pray that both of you might grow in love. You know, our world teaches us to be consumers. Everything exists for me and for my purposes and for my own pleasure. But the gospel teaches us to love others. Gospel partnership means participation. Partnership in the gospel means knowing and being known by God and by others. We don't get to live the Christian life alone. We need to be known as people, not living in isolation, not hiding ourselves or part of our lives from everybody else, not showing up just when we feel like it. God calls us to belong to his kingdom. He joins us into a family of believers. We are that family. You see, friends, it's one thing to have a friend like Charlie Coe. It's another thing to be a friend like Charlie Coe. If we want to grow in our love and knowledge and be filled with the fruit of righteousness, our gospel growth needs to be deliberate and intentional on our part too. Gospel transformation is always done in partnership. And so the most obvious question to ask you is, who are you partnering with? Who do you know? Who are you being known by? We need to get to know one another so that we can grow in love for one another. Who are you getting to know? Who here are you growing to love? And so here's something, friends, that all of us can do this morning. I want you to take a look around you and identify someone here. Not your wife, not your husband, not someone you live with, but someone else. Maybe they're not here and we haven't seen them for a while. Now, who's someone at church, just one person, you can start to partner with in the gospel? Doesn't have to be onerous. Doesn't have to be another weekly painful commitment that you commit to. It's meant to be encouraging. Find one person that you can meet up with once a week. Maybe they're already in your growth group. Talk with them this morning over coffee and set it up for the week ahead. Here's what I want you to do. Give them a phone call. Send them a text message. Maybe catch up for a cup of coffee or go out together for a meal. Be partners together with one another in the gospel. Share your prayer points. Pray together. Start encouraging one another. Let's not leave anyone behind. Friends, be known and get to know and grow to love others, because it really is a gift from God. Will you pray with me? Lord, so often we hear this passage preached and we think about partnership, and somehow it just gets reduced to money and giving money to gospel work. And yet what Paul does here is that he is known and he's being known by the Philippians. And so we pray that we might reorientate our own thinking about partnership to being known and to knowing other people. That our lives might produce righteousness and fruitfulness when Jesus returns. Would you help us to find someone here that we can encourage? Someone that we can be an encouragement to and to be encouraged by. Help us to be partners together in the gospel. Knowing you and being known by you. Knowing others and being known by others, so that we can all see the fruit of the gospel at work in our lives. Lord Jesus, none of us love each other particularly well. There is so much more room for improvement. And yet we thank you that you love us with a perfect love, and that the work that you've begun in us, you'll carry to completion, that we might love like you do. For we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.